Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to TMZ Live. Harvey Levin here.
Charles here.
There was a stunning development in New York. Harvey Weinstein's conviction for rape has been overturned. Overturned because the Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in New York, ruled that allowing the jury to hear from women that were not directly connected to the case, the accusers in the case, that was out of bounds. It was reversible error. And this is a stunning new development.
And it means that Harvey Weinstein, his conviction in New York, now thrown out. He is being held in New York. He's in New York State prison right now.
And prosecutors have said they are going to retry him there.
But there is still an L.A. conviction that he's under. So let's say that New York has to let him go. Even though they have said they're going to retry him.
They would take him back to Los Angeles, where he would be serving his sentence for the convictions here.
But they are actually, his lawyers are trying to get the L.A. conviction overturned as well. So joining us right now to talk about their next move and whether or not they believe Harvey Weinstein will walk free is one of his attorneys, Jennifer Bongean. Jennifer, welcome to TMZ Live.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Jennifer, first of all, your reaction to the Court of Appeals in New York and how it might align with what you're trying to do in Los Angeles.
I'm not surprised by the decision of the Court of Appeals. Time and time again, trial judges in the Cosby case, this case, they do not seem to understand that you cannot overwhelm a jury with multiple allegations, uncharged allegations, and expect a defendant to get a fair trial. And the high courts understand it. The trial courts do not, apparently. So they're going to continue to be reversed. And they need to understand that they have an obligation to an accused to give them a fair trial. And they didn't do it here, and they didn't do it in California as well. And that conviction was hanging on by a thread even before the news of this New York conviction being vacated. So we believe that conviction should go. In fact, I think he should be released on bail pending appeal right this very second. And that's what we're going to be working towards.
So wait a minute. Are you going to New York to ask for that?
No, we are going to California to ask for that, because what people don't understand is that that California jury was tainted out of the gate because they knew from Jump Street, even through jury selection, that Mr. Weinstein had been convicted, a conviction that no longer exists, in New York. Multiple jurors said, I can't be fair to this guy because I know he was convicted in New York. And now you have that tainting the entire jury pool, the entire jury process. It impacted whether Mr. Weinstein was going to take the stand. It simply tainted the entire process in California. In addition
Can I interrupt you for a second? So
sure.
Your argument is not so much that, or maybe it's both, but not so much that there were prior bad acts that shouldn't have been allowed in, but that this was all predicated on the fact that the jury knew that there was a conviction in New York. Out of the gate, now that there's no conviction in New York, by definition, there should be a reversal. There should be, they should throw the case out in LA.
That's right. It's both. The substance of the Court of Appeals decision in New York has huge impact for the propriety of the ruling in California, because there was what we call 1108 evidence, Molyneux evidence. It's really just other accusers coming in. That type of evidence was presented in California as well. That's a problem. That was always going to be an issue on appeal that we were raising and are raising, and the brief's due May 20th. We now have a separate, equally compelling issue that you have a tainted jury. I mean, Mr. Weinstein didn't come into a courtroom with the presumption of innocence to begin with because of the way the media handled the case, and that's what the media does. But everybody knew about these allegations. And then you have jurors who believed he was fairly convicted in New York saying, he was convicted there. He probably did it here. That tainted the process from the start. So it's really both types of attacks on this conviction. And I would also point out As you know, Mr. Weinstein was only convicted of one of the accusers. That's Jane Doe 1. And we have three sworn affidavits from jurors who said they never would have convicted him, even on that count, had they been privy to information that was withheld from them about her motivations, because she did sue him about, I don't know, 2 weeks after the verdict came back, after she said she never was interested in money, and then about information about her relationship with a person who was there at the festival where she claims Harvey assaulted her. So again, the conviction was so problematic from the start. Then you add this. We believe that Mr. Weinstein really should be given bail pending appeal, because there's a lot to unravel here.
So Jennifer, do you think that, I know you want him freed pending appeal in California, but in New York, where they've said they do intend to retry him, and who knows how long that would take, do you think that you'd be able to get him out on bail in New York as well?
I understand that the district attorney is saying they're going to retry him. I guess that's what they said today. I haven't heard it myself. I'll take your word for it. The reality, though, is that at the time that Mr. Weinstein was tried in California, this jury was under an assumption that he was convicted in New York. And that assumption is now a fallacy. He was not convicted. And that doesn't change whether they retry him or not. I would also point out that one of the accusers, Jane Doe 2, I believe, in the California case, was one of the Molyneux witnesses in New York, okay? And when she was cross-examined, there was extensive cross-examination about her testimony in New York. So this jury in California was inundated with information that, yes, he was tried in New York, and they knew he was convicted in New York, and now that that conviction doesn't exist, whether they try to retry him or not, the reality is that jury was tainted, and I don't think a retrial changes that.
Have you talked to your client since the Court of Appeals made its ruling?
No, but I talked to him yesterday, and we were waiting on it. But I look forward to talking to him today. It's an exciting day for him, and it's an exciting day for the criminal justice process, because there still needs to be a fair process. Our constitutional principles rely on it, and you know, whatever your feelings are about Harvey Weinstein, our system should work fairly for everybody, whether it's Harvey Weinstein or some John Doe. It has to work fairly for everybody. And the prosecution is taking too many liberties, and trial judges are allowing them to do it. And it needs to end.
There are instances where prior bad acts can be allowed in cases like this, right? And it's my understanding that they did weigh that at the trial level, the trial judge, there was a discussion about this, about whether or not these witnesses should be allowed to testify. Do you feel that something went wrong in that process? Because they can be allowed in, correct me if I'm wrong,
if you could
for motivation,
if you
right?
could show an MO.
Right, exactly. That's right, Harvey. The MO exception, if you will, is a very limited exception. It has to be like a signature crime. It's like when you have a serial killer out there that like does something unique, like scratches his initials in the back of a victim, and then says, well, I didn't do this crime, but there are the initials in the back of this victim. You say, okay, wait a second. You were guilty of these other ones. We can connect you to this because identity is at issue. And I don't want to get too into the weeds of it. Right. That's an appropriate use of prior bad acts. But to just say, really what happened here is that, he was doing this type of stuff or some variation of this type of stuff on other occasions. That is not modus operandi. That is propensity evidence. You did it before. You must have done it here. And that's the prohibited purpose. And that's what they did here. And that's what they did in California. And the prosecution conflates these issues. Frankly, trial judges don't get it right very often. And then even if there is a legitimate purpose for it, you still have to weigh the prejudice. That's always the final factor that a court has to say. Okay, maybe it has some legitimate purpose, but it doesn't outweigh the prejudice that's going to impact the defendant and whether he gets a fair trial. So that weighing process does not appear to be an important part of the court's analysis, and it should be. You still need to fundamentally, at bottom, say, is this jury going to convict him for what he's accused of here, or because of how he has led his life or his character? And that is something that I think the trial judge in Harvey's case in New York did not properly balanced, and the Court of Appeals agreed.
So, last question, and I don't want to get too in the weeds on this, but if you are now going to adjust your appeal in California to account for this Court of Appeals decision in New York, that's going to take some time because you're going to have to file briefs. Prosecution will then file its brief. That's going to take some time, and you may or may not win it. Assuming it either lingers or you don't win it, are you going to try to get your client moved from New York to California, or are you going to leave him there knowing that the DA there intends to retry him?
I have no say in all that. As long as he is, well, right now he is in the custody of the New York Department of Corrections. He will stay there until the Court of Appeals judgment is final, in the sense that it, you know, it's a final say. That I guess the, you know, the district attorney could try to do a motion to reconsider or something of that nature. I don't know that they will. What they are saying is that they will retry him there. And my guess is that, well, I don't want to guess. That's a trickier question than you think, because he's under.
No, I knew it was pretty tricky when I asked it. Yeah.
No, it's, will they move him back while the DA is making the decision in New York? That's not what we would be seeking. I mean, our feeling is they should make that decision, and they're going to have to make it fast. He has speedy trial rights.
Okay. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jennifer. Wow, this is a kind of stunning when we walked in.
As stunned as people were the day that Cosby was let free and he walked out of prison, it seems like that's a very real possibility with Harvey Weinstein.
We will see. Again, that was a very, it was a 4-3 decision by the Court of Appeals, so it was close.
I was very excited to see this, because Taylor Swift gets to, when her albums come out, the songs are about the ex-boyfriends, and we rarely ever hear from them. We never hear a rebuttal from them, right?
And you're not gonna hear one now.
Well, we are going to hear one. I just don't know how honest it is. Oh. We got Maddie Healy out. And you know that Maddie, of course, is the subject of at least one song on the new album, Tortured Poets Department. And we asked him if he's heard the album, and we wanted an honest review.
I want to say, not this was an outside photog, not us.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's important.
Different, yeah, exactly. An agency got him. And this is what he had to say about Taylor's new album.
How would you rate your Taylor diss track compared to the 30 others?
My diss track?
Yeah, Taylor's new song.
I haven't really listened to that much of it, but I'm sure it's good.
Not believing it.
Yeah, when you said, I haven't really listened to it that much, Maddie.
You heard it.
Yeah, I mean, that means you definitely heard it. You don't want to talk about it. If he hadn't heard any, what he should have said is, you know what, I haven't listened to the album. And I don't intend to.
But when he gave an opening,
but
the opening was I heard a little. Which part did you hear? I mean, did you zero in like a heat-seeking missile on the one about you, or did you listen to somebody else?
Yeah. So fans are not buying this response, you guys, because a lot of people online are saying like, there's no way he was able to avoid this album, because if you guys remember back when he was with Taylor, which was for a very split second, but when he was with her, he was going to the studio with her, and he was actually helping her with some of his songs, with some of her songs for the album. Look, were those the songs about him?
I doubt she recorded the ones about him.
Not that one.
She was like, you know what, why don't you go out for some smokes, Maddie? I'm going to finish this one up.
When you date Taylor Swift and you break up, you know very well she writes songs about breakups. Of course she's going to write songs about him. To act like you're not even curious, I don't think people are buying this at all. I mean,
no,
it's just, there's no way.
It's human nature. He would listen to it.
Of course it is.
Right.
So, look.
By the way, even his mother was asked about this. She was on a British morning show. And she's British, but she sounds like maybe she's from the South here, because she basically said, oh, I didn't know she had an album out. Bless her heart.
Bless her heart. Yes, she obviously
knows. She knows, yes.
Well, there's somebody else who joined in the chorus here.
Yeah, and this is a case where maybe, and I'm taking the shot at myself, that maybe Gen X should just shut up and sit this one out. But Neil Tennant, one half of the Pet Shop Boys, big hit makers in the 80s, you know, West End Girls, the whole thing, yeah. But he was asked about the Taylor Swift phenomenon. This is what he had to say. I don't know, Neil. You're not doing Gen X any favors here.
Taylor Swift sort of fascinates me as a phenomenon because she's so popular, and I sort of quite like the whole thing. But then when I listen to the records, we both have the same feeling, actually. For a phenomenon as big, where are the famous songs? What's Taylor Swift's Billie Jean?
Shake It Off?
I listened to that the other day, and it's not Billie Jean, it's not.
In one ear, out the other.
Sorry? Yeah, it is a bit like that.
Okay, listen, there are two separate things here. And you'll notice that the audience didn't even react. It wasn't like they cheered for him when he said it.
No.
Because the audience knows Taylor Swift has big hits.
She has huge hits.
Does she have...
They're not transformative necessarily,
right,
like Sgt. Pepper or Billie Jean.
Right. I could see that argument. But to say she doesn't have hits, that's ridiculous.
Well, it's also... The other thing is that if you look at music generally, and he knows this... That
by the way,
you could have
Pet
huge.
Shop Boys don't have
exactly,
transformative
exactly,
hits.
But they have big hits.
Yes.
And the
very
idea,
few people.
Very few people have transformative songs. Michael Jackson only had really a few. The Beatles had a lot, but they're such unicorns.
Why did you just have to put the Beatles over Michael?
But I'm so confused.
Because I do.
he's acknowledging that she's a big star, but saying that she doesn't have hits. So why does he think that she's a big star then? Because of her hits.
And there's a reason the audience didn't jump up and cheer when you said that.
What he's saying is, I know she's a big star, but she's not like
Michael. Shouldn't be this phenomenon.
Exactly. But the fact is that you can look at the Rolling Stones are, and you love them, and I do too, but you love them even more.
Right.
And they're top of the heap, but I don't think you could say the Rolling Stones had transformative songs.
They don't
songs,
have transformative
but
songs.
But they were huge.
They themselves admit that
that's right.
They do.
So you don't need
covers
to be transformative, and most artists are never transformative, yet they can have huge careers.
Right.
So I don't get it.
Hello, Regina from Miami, Florida. So what I have to say about this is that we just ended a Mercury retrograde today, which is impacting both Maddie Healy and...
Oh, you just lost me. You just lost
me. Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
I'm listening.
Yes, of course you are.
We just ended a Mercury retrograde period today. Mercury retrogrades are difficult for everybody, and they bring back situations from the past. Exes from the past, situations from the past, especially for him, because it was impacting his ego. It was impacting his Sun, Mercury, and Venus signs, which are bound to bring him a situation from the past that deals with his love life. I know, I'm declaring right now that by September, October, he's going to be releasing something creative around this topic. And the same thing for Taylor. She has in her 10th house of literal career, the North Node transiting there, the eclipses. So she's changing something. Something unexpected is going to happen with her October, September.
I have one follow-up question. I know I'm going to regret this. If someone were a Virgo,
oh God,
what does this Mercury retrograde
stop
mean?
Stop it.
As a Virgo, well, something to do with money. Money, you're thinking a lot about money.
Did you say, wait, I was going to get a lot of money?
I don't know. Thank you, though.
Well, Donald Trump probably has one of the more interesting Secret Service details to begin with, if you were appointed to him, but it's about to get even more interesting. Actually, it is getting more interesting because his agents are now having to talk about what's life in prison like?
Well, not just life in prison. There are two things that are happening. One is, if he gets convicted, he could face serious prison time.
Right.
But the second thing is that the judge does have the power of putting him behind bars for contempt if he continues to violate the gag order.
They even get to the verdict
in
the trial.
Unlikely that he would do something like that. It is very rare they would do something like that, especially in this case.
Right.
But depending
if
on what Trump says,
yeah,
you know, it's possible. And so the Secret Service cannot be left flat-footed and say, we'll just kind of wait and see what happens.
Right.
They
have
to make plans.
Contingencies for everything. And those conversations are actually going on, is what we've found out from some sources in law enforcement. They are preparing for this because, like you said, there's the contempt issue that could happen any day, really, during the trial.
Though unlikely.
Yeah, but they would still have to be ready to go with him.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. So we've spoken with people who are plugged into this on the Secret Service side of things, right? And they say they're ready. They're ready if he does, in fact, get jailed for contempt of court. We should just kind of clarify what that would actually mean is that Trump would be sent to a little jailhouse or a jail in like the back of the courthouse, right? Like courthouses have little jails, within the holding cells or whatever. Right. And he would potentially be held if it came to that. Because basically what's happened is that prosecutors have said Trump is in contempt of court by posting on Truth Social and talking to the press and slamming the judge and slamming the jurors and whatever. And what they've said so far is fine him for each of those things. And if he continues doing it, hold him in contempt and throw him in jail. So we'll see, to Harvey's point, whether that'll actually happen or not. I guess it kind of depends on whether Trump keeps at it. But if he does, in fact, get jailed right now before getting sentenced or convicted or whatever, then yes, the Secret Service agents are, in fact, prepared to go in there with him and be at his side. Because under constitutional law, under federal law, that's what they're obligated to do. So that's what we've been told. It's like, they are prepared to do that.
We just don't know where. I mean, and again, this is kind of, I suppose, for everybody else, it's cart before the horse. It's not cart before the horse for the Secret Service. But, you know, we don't know if he got convicted and if he got sentenced, where he would go. And also, and I'm unfamiliar with this case in New York in terms of how they would do it. In California, you know, if he were to be found guilty, there would be a sentencing report that usually takes time. So it wouldn't be immediately remanding somebody.
Right.
So again, the timeline here is unclear.
Well, the contempt issue is the interesting one to me, because during this case, if he's going to be disciplined at all for violating this gag order, fines won't do it. Trump is a very, very rich man. So putting him in jail is the way for the judge to actually discipline him during the case. Prison is a long way away. That's at the end with conviction, is real.
Here's what I've been thinking about. I don't know the answer to this. I'd love to know your opinion about it. If Trump gets convicted, and if they then have a sentencing, you know, where the probation department creates a sentencing report, and that takes a couple of months, and say we're in August or even September, could Trump then go to the U.S. Supreme Court, or certainly appeal up, and say, at this point, putting me in prison
couple months away from
would be interfering with the election, and that any sentence should be deferred until after the election?
What a fascinating place to be in, but I think you're right. He would move to the Supreme Court for some sort of emergency relief to impact the fairness of the election. I think he can only hold it for so long, but if we're in within a month, I think they might say, we'll have a stay of his sentence for now so that he can go on the campaign trail. But what a world to live in that we're dealing with these
issues. By the way, the Secret Service has to be having conversations with the court, right, to say it. Where might you put him?
Right. Oh, right. Absolutely.
Where might you put him? Because they have to prepare.
They have got to have had those conversations.
Because they're not going to prepare.
They're not going to be flat-footed.
Right.
They're not going to be flat-footed.
If you guys are wondering whether he's going to be put with, like, other inmates, that's
no,
that's not
no, no,
ask,
no, 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 no.
Is that what you're talking about?
But just,
or
no, just what facility?
The facility.
Right. Oh, I see. Yeah, I mean, if he's in any holding cell, he's not going to be with the general public. That much we know for a fact. He would be isolated and like siloed off, and they would be basically standing around a cell like a cartoon, basically.
Yeah, him and the Secret Service agents.
Hi, my name is Vanessa. I live in North Carolina, and I think that Donald Trump should be held accountable for his actions. I mean, we've seen what he's posted on his app Truth Social and what he says in his speeches. And he thinks that he really believes that he thinks that he's above the law when he's not. And I think that Stormy Daniels deserves to get the justice that she deserves ultimately.
Well, this isn't a Stormy Daniels justice case.
Right.
This is a case about doctoring books and fraudulently calling this legal expenses when it was a campaign expense. That's the argument.
It is related to Stormy Daniels.
It's related to her, but it's not doing justice for her.
Right.
We are going to take a break.
All right. When we come back, Drake has gone too far in his war with Kendrick Lamar. So say the lawyers for Tupac. Why is Tupac involved? When we come back, we're going to tell you about the letter that his estate has fired off to Drake and why they want some answers right now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to TMZ Live, the rap wars, or as Trent has labeled it, the 2024 rap wars.
Ah.
Just went too far. You know that things have gone too far when the lawyers step in. And Drake and Kendrick Lamar have been going back and forth. And one of the songs that Drake recorded is the one that they feel crossed the line. It's called Tailor-Made Freestyle. And it features not only Drake, but it features
Taylor Swift.
Tailor-Made? No, there's no, there's no Taylor Swift in it. Mm. Sorry, we're going to take a pause from Taylor Swift.
Okay.
But it features Snoop Dogg and Tupac.
How's that?
Except that both of their voices are AI-generated voices. And Tupac's estate is very upset about this. In fact, well, we're going to tell you what action they've taken, but first, here is the song and what sounds like Tupac, but it isn't.
Kendrick, we need ya, the West Coast savior. Engraving your name in some hip-hop history. If you deal with this viciously, you seem a little nervous about all the publicity. This Canadian light-skinned doc, we need to know the baby West Coast victory, man. Call him a bitch for me. Talk about him liking young girls, that's a gift for me.
So,
pretty authentic?
Song, yeah. Look, AI does a good job, but that's the problem for Tupac's estate. And they fired off a cease and desist letter to Drake's people.
Because they didn't make it clear, that's not Tupac.
Right.
And there could be confusion that maybe that is Tupac.
Yeah, and so they want some, not only do they want the song to be pulled, which I don't think Drake or Universal is gonna do.
No, they thought this through.
Yeah, but there's more in the letter that I thought, this was the interesting part to me. They said they wanna know how it was made. And to me, that is a key thing here, is that the lawyers are thinking down the road, how is this being done? What AI generator are you using?
That, right?
And I think what they want to do ultimately is go after the AI.
The company?
Yes, the company is what they're trying to figure out.
Well, Tupac's attorneys gave Drake and his team a strict ultimatum saying that they didn't have longer than 12 p.m. today to remove the song and also explain how the AI was made. And right now, it seems like that Drake's team just feels
getting
like
close
Tupac.
To that deadline.
Tupac's lawyers are just puffing their chest. And they're, because on Drake's Instagram, the song's still there and has over 2 million likes. So with that in mind, I don't think this song's going anywhere. And it just seems like Tupac's attorneys are just trying to cover their bases and make the estate happy.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, we also spoke to Tupac's brother the other day, Mopreme, and he said he had no idea that this was being done. His issue with it was that Tupac's likeness or his voice was being used in a rap beef. He's like, it's one thing if you're using it in a like an homage to him, but he didn't take kindly to, you know, him being drawn into this.
Another interesting point in the lawsuit is they call Kendrick a friend of the state, you know, meaning that they're on his side no matter what. You know, the song has been getting rave reviews, and, you know, so like Jacob said, Drake has no intention of taking the song down. It's hilarious.
Well, to everyone except Tupac.
Hey, this is Latrell from Atlanta. You know, Tupac estate suing Drake is definitely a double-edged sword because, like I said, of course, Drake could have got approved through their camp, but also, too, it's AI-generated, so that's not even Tupac's real voice. Also, Drake didn't post it on, you know, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, so he's not making money from it. It's just all a part of the beef with the Kendrick Lamar beat, which is pretty much the most interesting thing in hip-hop. So, like I said, it's definitely interesting and controversial. We'll see what happens with the music industry in terms of AI.
What I don't get is...
That is interesting. Why do they want to...
Yeah, but why do they want to find out what company did it? I mean, it's not like it's a secret how they do this.
Because
I mean,
it's going to keep happening, and maybe they're just trying to...
Companies are out there. They're doing it, so it's not like...
And they can all do it.
That's right. I don't get it. Okay, we are going
to
move on.
Yes, moving on now to Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back, and you could say he is spiking the football here because he held a news conference to talk about how he got it back. And this, he's been on a mission to get it for years, but there was someone in particular who helped him. One of the lawyers, the guy on the right in the blue jacket, was key in this. And he was standing right there with Reggie at the news conference and talked about how, as they see it, fate brought them together.
At a pool party.
If fate's name was Rob Gronkowski.
Thank goodness he and I met at a pool party, Rob Gronkowski's pool party at a Super Bowl.
Oh, yes.
And he told me his story. And I said, Reggie, I can get this trophy back.
I manifested this. I really did. The trophy,
I guess, was the icing on the cake, you know, being taken away from me. But being labeled a cheater was far worse because I've never cheated. And there's no proof of that I've cheated. I know there have been millions of doubters out there. And hopefully now those people can see that, you know, what we've been saying all along is true. And what we've been fighting for all along is true. The truth prevails.
So the thing I don't get about this is that the Heisman trustees that are giving it back to him, they didn't say we're giving it back because we made a decision that you didn't cheat. They're saying we're giving it back because the whole landscape has changed. Yeah. And now players are getting endorsements. They're getting money. So it's unfair to keep it from you.
I mean, right. But I didn't read anything where they said we reviewed the case and it turns out Reggie wasn't getting, and Reggie and his family were not getting payments. That's not what they said.
No, it's not. And I think, Charles, a lot of people have made that argument. The people who are against Reggie getting the trophy back have said, yeah, look, I get it. Now you're allowed to do what Reggie allegedly did or his family allegedly did. But obviously back in 2005, that was not the case. It was all illegal then. So I think you do have a lot of people who are saying, hey, look, he should not be getting this trophy back. I do think you have more people, though, that are on Reggie's side and say, yeah, he is... He does rightfully deserve that trophy, and now it's back with the guy who should have it.
Hi, T-Rex, Roberts Cove, Foley in Gulf Shores, Alabama. I want to comment on Reggie Bush. Man, this is going to be a great 30 for 30 with Grump Pool Party. I was wondering what really sparked the conversation that, hey, I want my Heisman back. Man, I'm waiting for ESPN to pick this story up real quick.
Yeah. That's true, because...
Is there video of that pool party?
I'm sure someone has video of it, and that's what they got to find, because that also seems like that guy was a character.
Oh,
I would love to see that first meeting between them.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of these days, Ryan is going to find the one, but this is not one of those days.
Or
he's not.
Or he's not. You date somebody for a couple of years, and it works out for a time, and you move on.
Yeah.
There's not only one path.
I know, but we used to say that about George Clooney, and then he found the one, or so he believes, right?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm getting myself in trouble.
What does that mean?
What I'm trying to say is Ryan Seacrest has broken up with yet another girlfriend. This time, he and Aubrey Page, who were together for 3 years, have split, and it seems like it's amicable. Nobody's saying anything nasty about each other, but Aubrey is speaking out to some people, not to Ryan, but it seems that she's getting a little backlash online, at least based on what she posted.
I haven't heard this, by the way.
Now, what you're about to see, you could say is a sort of a declaration that I'm single again, and some people might call it a thirst trap. I don't know that that's why she posted herself in a bikini. I think it's more pointed to, well, you'll hear what she has to say.
I am fully aware of what y'all say about me, number one, and I don't give
Now, that's not her voice. It's a TikTok thing where you take a clip from the soundbite, but her point is, I don't care what you guys are saying about me, because there are probably a lot of people who are saying some bad things when you break up with...
I think it might have more to do with the visual than the audio.
Well, she did also post something sort of that seemed more celebratory about the breakup. She said rebirth at her new home.
You have to assume here then that she was staying with Ryan. I mean, she was obviously traveling with him too. I mean, the guy's never not on the road. He's got American Idol. He is premiering this coming fall as the new host of Wheel of Fortune. He's a busy guy, so this makes sense. By the way, 3 years is quite a long time for someone as busy as him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Can you go back to the shot of her in the place? That's Los Angeles.
Yes. Yeah. Well, remember, he's out here now.
Do you know what's really weird? I have been in this city for so many decades.
Uh-huh.
I know that building.
You know, the actual building.
I actually know the building from looking at that.
No, don't.
First
of all, it's probably a newer building.
I'm not going to say, but I know the building.
Huh.
And it's not a newer building, but I know the building.
Well, it's new to her. It's new to her, and she's loving it.
Adam Treasure from London. Basically, this came as a big shock. Relationships can be so difficult. You never know what happens behind closed doors. And yeah, you just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think everyone will end up fine.
I think everybody's going to be fine.
Yeah, everybody's
just
fine.
Sure. Okay, it is that time of the week.
Your favorite time of the week. Tim is here with his rejects.
All right, no. What's going on, guys?
What is going on in the background there, man?
All right, so have you guys gone ziplining before?
I have.
I have not.
You have not?
And I will never will.
Oh, it's fun. It's,
I will kill myself.
It's the, well, you might, actually.
Well, yeah. It's a lot of fun. Would Charles, since you've gone before, would you go over a body of water, say, a swamp, maybe?
Maybe. How high over the swamp?
Well, check this out. So this lady here is going ziplining over a swamp here, looking pretty good.
Having
good time,
too low.
Right? But nothing really happens. Although, if you look to your left, look what's lurking.
Oh my God!
What the? Is that? Yeah.
So
he was looking
there
for lunch. He thought he was about to get some food.
So, yeah. Smokes.
You never know what's lurking underneath the water there.
Yikes.
I guess, Harvey, you're definitely not going to be going zipline.
By the way, did anybody get her unclipped? Because she looked like she was trying to get away.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. So say you're going for a long walk and your hands are full, maybe with grocery bags, gym bags, whatever, and you get hungry. What do? Your hands and arms are full.
If you show me a ridiculous invention. Now.
Yes, so this is a contraption. No. This guy has grocery bags in his arms, and he wants to have some M&M's and drinks, so he creates a little hat there, and it goes down the line.
I mean,
it
is impressive from an engineering standpoint.
And
he gets some M&M's coming around there?
Some M&M's.
You're finding that interesting from an engineering
standpoint? From an engineering standpoint?
Look at this.
He's drinking your favorite, Orange Crush.
He is drinking. No, it's a Fanta, I think.
Oh, it's Fanta?
Yeah.
They don't make Crush anymore.
So, kind of fun if you need it. I don't know.
But you'd look ridiculous.
It's okay, last one.
So all right,
so have you committed if you're walking around with that on?
Right. So we've seen this week Luke Bryan have a mishap, Kid Cudi have a mishap on stage.
Yeah.
Well, it can happen to all of us. Just be careful. Watch below. So this guy is looks like he's leaving his house.
I can't even laugh at that because it's happened. Anyone who lives on the East Coast, this is
Tim, that guy's hurting.
By the way, he's okay, Tim?
Yeah,
he definitely is okay. He does get up. And I don't know the pain, but he definitely gets up. So.
But he got up and he walked.
Right.
You actually saw him use his legs?
He walked to Cedars Sinai.
Probably, but I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay, Tim.
Wow. See ya.
Wow.
Let's go, Tim!
Ended on a painful note there.
Carnage.
Yeah.
Okay, we're taking a break.
All right, the MGK and Megan Fox breakup, or is it a breakup? He had a big birthday party. We didn't see her there. Guess what? She made an appearance. You will see it when we come back. Can't figure out what's going on between Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly.
Nor can I.
She was at Coachella, and certainly when asked about dating or about guys, and she said, don't care about it, and everything she said
seemed like they had broken up.
Like they had broken up.
And then we got pictures yesterday of MGK's birthday party, I think 34th birthday.
34th had a big old party.
A carousel of pictures, no Megan Fox.
Right, and so we just figured, all right, well, that's confirmation now. She said that, and then he did this, and she wasn't there, so they're not together. And then
he posted this today.
He posted this, maybe in response to everyone thinking they were, and actually, I will say, so this is, I think, also from his party, but I guess this doesn't mean that they're together. It means that they're at least friendly.
It doesn't mean they're not together.
But it doesn't mean they're together.
She has always said that they are twin souls and they will always be connected in some way, shape, or form for the duration of the rest of their lives. She didn't say in what capacity. She really didn't really expand on any of that. However, I will say, I think he posted this because on Wednesday when he didn't post it, Megan Fox may have been like, hey, I was there. Why are there no photos of me? So I do think they may still be together.
Mm.
But if they were together, how could he post all those pictures and not her?
It's weird that you would post that many and not show
and
her.
Not her.
That's an intentional thing that he didn't show her.
Right.
And then I think she had an issue with it because she was probably like, hey, we're working on ourselves, working on our relationship. Why didn't you post me at all? Not people online are saying we're not together. And so now he felt he needed to post her to shut up the haters.
So in summary, we don't know.
I'm Noelle from Texas. And I honestly think they're still together because if you guys pay attention to the birthday cake photo, it's covered in crystals. And that is 100% Megan Fox's vibe and her whole aesthetic.
That's a really good observation.
It's still there. It seems like they're definitely still doing that twin flame thing.
Wow. Really good observation.
Noelle, you are the first.
Yeah, that was good.
To point that out.
That was good. What else do you guys want to talk about?
Just going to go over my Christmas pun.
I got it, Noelle.
Hi, I'm Leslie Mota from Texas. And Matty Healy breaks his silence on Taylor Swift, but does he really? Because he really didn't say much. And there are moments when it's smarter not to engage or escalate a situation that you want to put behind you. And has anyone's silence triggered you? Because I know for many of us in the past, it is triggering. So sometimes it's just best to stay silent. And you know, there is a saying that says a wise man once said nothing.
I think you're absolutely
this
right.
This is true.
I think you're absolutely
you
right.
You shouldn't have opened
okay.
the door.
We got two people in a row who nailed it. Next one.
Hi, I'm Che. I'm from Oakland, California. And about this Donald Trump situation, honestly, I'm a fan of the prosecuting team really doing their job and finding any way to convict this man, because I kind of hope they put him under the jail for the maximum sentence. I can't believe that he's running again. And I can't believe that there was nobody better that they could have chosen. And, you know, I just hope that they pack him up and take him out of the running of becoming America's next top president.
The only thing I would say to that is convict him if you do on the evidence, not on the politics.
Right.
Because that's a dangerous thing in our country.
Right.
Do it on the evidence.
I got to get out on a court again. I haven't played tennis in a while, but now there are all these other sports. I still haven't tried pickleball.
I haven't tried pickleball either.
And paddle tennis is now becoming a big thing.
True.
Eva Longoria was playing. It didn't go well for her.
Nope.
She might want to try pickleball. Softer. But here's what happened.
Is your left hand pointing?
There's a bull paddle day. Yeah. I know I'm not supposed to be switching rackets. These shoes are great.
Hello.
Although I fell already and I hit my head. Look at my bruise. Getting a little purple, but nothing that a charro beer can't heal.
I'm glad that she had a beer standing by.
I didn't even tell you, like 3 weeks ago, because I play tennis on the weekends, and I heard a pop in my arm, and it hasn't, like, it still hurts.
Oh, I'm not supposed to laugh?
You know, you're not supposed to laugh. And I'm afraid my tennis days.
Really?
I'm really upset about it because it's been...
Well, now I'm really upset too.
I'm sure you are. We'll see you tomorrow.